Amen. There's a verse in Revelation that means a whole lot to me, and I hope it comes to mean a whole lot to you if it hasn't already. I'm not going to share anything that you guys don't already know, but I'm hoping that by reminding you, we'll all be encouraged. That verse says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved their lives not their lives unto the death. I believe that their testimony was that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. We all have an individual testimony, but that's at the heart of every one of our testimonies, because that's where our relationship and our life in Christ begins. I'm going to read a couple of verses before that to set the context of where it is in Revelation, so you can see why I feel I'm okay to take it out as a global thing. Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was cast out, that serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying, I heard a loud voice in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ, for he, the accuser of our brethren, is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. He's the accuser of the brethren that's cast down, and we're the brethren. We all have times, I'm sure, where Satan points his finger at us and tells God we're not worthy, and he's not lying, because none of us are. Only our Savior is. And so it talks about overcoming. Overcome, the word for that is says they overcame, it means they were victorious, that they conquered. Those are other proper definitions of that word from the Greek. And so this overcoming is about being victorious, and it's by the blood of the Lamb. There's another verse in Revelation 17:14. I'm going to read a lot of scripture because it's better that you know what God says than what I think. There's one time I'm going to tell you what I think in this message, and I think it's right that it's according to God's word, so otherwise I wouldn't do it. Revelation 17:14 says, these shall war against the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. And there's that word overcome again. The Lamb shall be victorious, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they all shall overcome that are with him, and called and chosen and faithful. They shall overcome that are with him, called, chosen, and faithful. So are we with him? Amen? Yeah. Feel free to say your amens and hallelujahs. It'll encourage me a lot. And I always feel restrained because I don't want to be the first one, but I think we all need to get over that a little bit. Yeah. Thank you. So that verse, talking about the ones that overcome being called and chosen and faithful, kind of defines an overcomer. Everybody's called, but not all are chosen. Called, John 14:1, you believed in God, believe also in me. That's a call to faith. Faithfulness, this last word, it means to be persistent. It means to continually try to do what God would have us do and not what we ourselves would do. It means to be full of faith. And so that's what God tries to do, is get us to believe and be full of faith. Acts 4:12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So to be called is to be called to believe in Christ and to have faith in his shed blood. We're called to a new life. We're called to stand with our Lord, and we're called to serve. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Romans 8:28 says, and 29 and 30, and we know that to them that love God, all things work together for good, even to them that are called according to his purpose. That's singular. A lot of people preach plural and leave the next two verses out. For whom he foreknew, he also foreordained to be conformed to the image of his Son. There's his purpose. We're being transformed to be like Jesus. Every single one of us. You can count on it. That's the way we're going to arrive in heaven, with the character of Jesus Christ. You can count on it. That's a sure thing. That's something to build your faith on. Yeah. Even to them are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he foreordained, them he also called. And whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. That's all in the past tense. Do you feel glorified? I don't most of the time. There's a lot of things that in the Christian life that we have to apprehend by faith that'll break our mind, that we can't understand with our finite minds. And if you have to understand everything as a Christian, you're going to miss a lot of blessings. You're going to miss the grace of God in your life in so many ways. There's enough proven, and for me it was by the prophecies and the fulfillment in the life of Jesus Christ. There's over 400 prophecies fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ. That stuff satisfied my mind. God convinced me, my intellect, that he was real and he'd really done this, and his Savior and Messiah had really come. And it had to be then, and it couldn't be some other time. So that convinced my mind and allowed me to embrace the stuff I can't understand and can't see by faith. Things like being seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Right now, as I sit here before you, as you sit there, we are all seated with Christ in the heavenlies. The letters to the churches in Revelation all end with a promise to those who overcome. A lot of times we read those letters and we don't picture ourselves as overcomers. We see ourselves as the ones with the flaws or maybe the things that are being their churches are being praised for. But we don't see ourselves as overcomers. I want to leave here believing you're victorious, believing you're an overcomer, and that those promises are yours. My favorite one's the last one to the church of Laodicea. That as my Father granted me to sit on his throne, so I will grant to you to sit with me on mine. You wonder where you're going to be in heaven? Right there with Jesus. His big throne. Big throne. And why should we all be beside him on the throne? We're his bride. Where's the king have his queen? On the throne with him. That's where we'll be. And I don't know who the others are, but God bless them, but I plan on being there. And that's one of those things that we have to believe by faith again. And God's so good. God's so good. So we're called, and we confirm that we're chosen by our response to believing in Christ. Philippians First, Jesus is chosen, which makes sense because he's the first of many brethren we read already. In Matthew 12, 18, it says, "Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall declare judgment to the Gentiles." Jesus was chosen. Luke 9:35, "And a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my son, my chosen. Hear ye him.'" And then we're chosen because we believe in the one that was chosen in Jesus, in his shed blood, and we're counting on that. That's all I got. If I'm counting on anything else, I'm distracted and weakened from my position in Christ. If I'm trusting in myself and my goodness, I'm blowing it because I don't have any righteousness, only him. He's my righteousness. So we are chosen. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot and cast him." This is Matthew 22:13. "And the king said to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot and cast him out into outer darkness. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth.'" That's context. Yeah, 22:14, the next one. "For many are called, but few are chosen." Every person is called. God desires that none should perish, no, not one. And yet, people will reject him. And it's because they haven't accepted the gift of faith he has for them. We'll get to that. John 13:18, "I speak not for you, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, 'He that eateth my bread lifteth his heel up against me.'" Of course, that's at the Last Supper where Judas is going to betray him. But he knows who he has chosen, and that extends to every one of us. And you confirm that by your choice to follow him, to obey him, to die to self and live for him. That's the walk of faithfulness, is to put our own desires aside and answer his call. John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." I hope you've all heard your Savior's voice. And he speaks to us all in different ways. Sometimes he speaks through the Word. Sometimes he speaks directly to us with a sound that has no sound, is how he speaks to me. I don't hear anything, but I know he's spoken to me, and I know exactly what he said. And it's such a great blessing to know that my Savior is speaking to me. I pray you all have that joy. And the next verse, John 10:28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand." That's the promise of our eternal security in Christ, if we're truly his. And we confirm that by proving we're chosen by living a faithful life. John 10:29, the next verse, "My Father, who hath given them unto me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Hallelujah. So, we're called, we're chosen, and we're called to be faithful. First, God is faithful. God is faithful. Philippians 1:6, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work will be faithful to, will work in you perfection, perfect, and will perfect it unto the day of Jesus Christ." So he started a work in us, he's going to finish it. We're going to be conformed to the image of Christ again. We're going to be like Jesus. Heaven wouldn't be heaven if I showed up and I didn't have the character of Christ. I'd bring my sin nature with me if that was the case. And it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. We'll all be dressed in Christ. Amen. Thank you. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. We all have moments when our faith is put aside, maybe because of fear, maybe because of stress, maybe because we're a little haughty, a little proud of ourselves, of what we know. But he remains faithful because we're his sheep and we hear his voice. Abraham believed in the Lord, and he accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It's the same with us. We believe in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and he becomes our righteousness. And the crazy thing is the word also says that we become the righteousness of God. How amazing. How amazing that he sees us that way. Is that complete in him already? We're still in process, but he sees us as completed. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. I think I shared that already. 1 Corinthians 1:9. It doesn't hurt to repeat the word of God. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So there again, God is faithful, and we were called. 1 Corinthians 9:13. There is no temptation taken you, but such as man could bear. But God is faithful, that with the God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but with the temptation make also the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Whatever trial and testing we're in, God has a way, a path out, if we'll look to him instead of our own devices, instead of help from the world, if we're not the people of Israel calling on Egypt instead of calling on God, if we're remembering to communicate with him. Second Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and guard you from the evil one. What a promise. He, again, is God's faithful first. And he establishes us and protects us. He cares for his own. So we are called to faithfulness. What does that look like? What is it to be full of faith? Jesus tells several parables. They're all about faithfulness, faithful servants, faithful stewards. My favorite is the parable of the talents. I'm not going to read it, but it's where three people are gifted from God with something to invest. And two of them are faithful to invest it and bring a return to God. And the third one is fearful and buries what he's given, so that it remains, but he doesn't invest it. And he pays a terrible price for it. He's lost. I when I read this parable and remember it, what I think of as the talent is the gift of faith. We've all been given the gift of faith, Romans tells us. And we need to choose what we'll do with it, because God wants to get a return on his investment from each and every one of us. And if we invest it, if we use our faith, we'll watch it grow. It's a natural thing that is, as you invest your faith, as you trust God the first time, and we all, I believe, have done that. I pray so. If you haven't, it's a good day to do it. If you've trusted Jesus Christ, invested your faith, you know, the first time you ask God to show you something or do something for you, and you invest your faith, and most of us ask for something personal to start with, and God's faithful to honor that, and He answers our prayer. And the next time we invest our faith, it's a little easier than it was the first time. And by the time you've done that for weeks and months and years of your life, your faith grows and grows and grows and brings a great return. Amen. Thank you, Jim. Yeah. Yeah. So I encourage you to each day and each moment invest your faith. That's the difference between being faithful and not. That's the difference between being blessed and not. It's the difference between growing in Christ and not. Is investing your faith and trusting God and in saying no to self and yes to Him. And it gets easier with time, though we all still do it sometimes and don't sometimes. I'm not always faithful for sure. Wouldn't pretend I am. Romans 12:3, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one the measure of faith. There isn't a man ever born that God didn't put a measure of faith in. And those who receive him, invest it. Those who don't, bury it in the dirt and never do anything with it. And that's the simple difference between the chosen, the called, the faithful, is what they do with that gift of faith. I believe this is the most precious for me of all the manifold gifts, graces of God. And they are many, 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 many. I found 57 when I wrote a book called The Riches of Grace. For specific promises from God that have nothing to do with my actions other than believing in Jesus Christ, that are all true for me because I said yes to Jesus and I'm trusting in His shed blood. And they're amazing. They're things like, we are seated with God in the heavenlies. We have a place in His, a home in heaven. We're a royal priesthood. I don't feel like a royal priest, do you? And yet by faith I'm called to believe that. You know, there's so many things that are true. I kind of wishing I brought my book with me right now. But those things are all true for us. And only because God has gifted us with them, the manifold graces of God. Most precious gift. 1 Peter 1:3, seeing that His divine power hath granted unto us all things pertaining to life and godliness, that through Him that called us by His own glory and virtue. So again, called us, but gifted us with everything we need for our life. It's back to that all things working together for good. It's being given every provision we need to walk a life of faith, to walk a life of obedience, to answer His call, to say yes to God and no to ourselves again. By His glory and virtue. The next verse, 2 Peter 1:4. Whereby hath He granted unto us His precious and exceedingly great promises, that through these ye may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruptions of this world by lust. Partakers of the divine nature. We're being transformed from glory to glory. God, in the beginning, created man, said in our image, he went plural, and we were created a reflection of him, but he wasn't finished. We were created in the image of God, every human being that was ever born, but when we come to Christ, he starts to finish that work, to perfect that work, and to conform us to his image, as we talked about already. And again, what a wonderful, wonderful promise. What an incredible thing. We're each time we say yes to God, we're becoming a little more like Jesus. I've said it before and I'll say it again. It's an amazing thing that God has done. God gifts us all. According to each hath faith, according as each hath received a gift, minister it among yourselves as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We've all been gifted. We've been given the gift of faith, but he doesn't stop here. He doesn't stop there. When God calls us, that's not the last time he calls. The veil was rent when Christ died, and the way opened for us to have communion with our Father in heaven again. And we can go to him, and he's come out to us by way of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus not only was the veil rent as he died, but 3 days later, he has victory when Satan thinks he's won, that he's killed the Messiah. He didn't understand the prophecies in the Bible. If he did, he just ignored them and went along with God's plan. And Jesus rose from the grave and has eternal life. And that's his shed blood. And that's our victory. That's our overcoming, is that Jesus died for our sins and then rose from the dead, conquered death. And when we die, guess what we're going to do? We're going to rise from the dead. We're going to be transformed. We're going to have a resurrection body, a body fit for heaven. And it's eternal. It'll never suffer the pains and the diseases and the wounds that we do in this life. And it's hard to believe. But by faith, we need to believe it. And very thankful for that. Very thankful. It's everything. It's everything. Amen. So his gifts and callings are ours. For the gifts and callings of God are not repented of. When he calls you and you answer, that's yours. When he calls you to serve him in a certain way, and you may not see it as a calling and a gift is when you first start acting. I believe that God's gifts to us in areas of ministry, his callings to ministry, are revealed as we're obedient, as we say yes to the simple little requests he has day by day. I didn't know when I sat down with two friends who'd come back to Christ as I did in 40-some years ago at a picnic table in a park in Ashland that he was starting to reveal his call in my life, because as we went through it, for some reason, I had understanding. For some reason, they had questions and I had answers, and I don't know why, other than God. And he was starting to reveal through a guy that helped, came to Ashland, that ended up in Uzbekistan and then Siberia. He was on his way and he was in Ashland. He was a good, very good friend. But his mission at that point was to start small group studies wherever he went and find people who would lead. And so we opened our house to a group of people, and Doug helped me to learn to lead. I didn't know yet, it was my calling even when I sat down with my first group of men in Ashland. And it was always small. There were three faithful guys that were always there. And others came and went, you know, no more than 8 or 10 ever came at one time. But for 8 years, I got to minister to those guys, and we all grew, nobody more than me. And it was kind of probably at the end of that time that I was starting to realize that was a calling on my life. But it was revealed just because I was faithful to go sit down with those guys to start with. The smallest thing will the smallest faithfulness, the smallest obedience is how God will start to reveal your calling. And you may not recognize and see it as that for years. Steve is an example of that. When he was in college and there was a guy leading worship that I think graduated, he asked Steve to take his place, and Steve didn't feel very confident. He was fairly new playing the guitar, but he said yes. And he probably didn't realize that was a calling on his life for many years after that. He did it out of obedience, not because he felt equipped or worthy, but he did it. And we've been blessed. This church has been blessed for 30-some years. 40 years. This man's been leading worship in this church. Because he said yes to a simple call from God. Didn't feel equipped, didn't feel prepared, didn't think he'd been doing it long. We don't know much, do we? So please answer the call of God. Don't hesitate. Answer the simplest little things, and he'll start to reveal his gifts in your life. And others may see it before you do. And there's all kinds of areas of service, but God has a place for each one of us. We're members of a body and knit into it. We're to be knit into it. You've answered a call of faithfulness just by being here, by being in church, by submitting yourself to be in the body of Christ. You've said yes to Christ in a way, and I pray you see it that way. This church has been such a blessing to me. Beyond Christ, there's two real blessings in a man's life, to have a good wife and to have a good church. I've been blessed with 3 great wives and 2 great churches. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, I am a blessed man. I'm as broken physically as I've ever been, but I am a blessed man. And God's got me in his hand. There's no better place to be. So where am I? Amen. Yeah, his calling, his gifts and his calling are ours, always ours. We can't understand with our finite minds many of the things promised to us as believers. We must, by faith, accept the reality of what we cannot see with our physical eyes. I often say I get the world in my eyes and I can't see a thing. Makes me a blind man, because the spiritual realm is far more real than the one we see with our physical eyes. And yet we have to apprehend it by faith. We have to know the Word of God, abide in the Word of God, abide in the body, be faithful, and then we'll see more clearly what's real and what's not, what's lasting and what's finite. We'll understand that our body's finite, but that we're not, that the soul, one of the things that happened when God was created in the image of God is that man was created with an immortal soul. Every soul of man will live for eternity. And God help those who haven't received Jesus Christ. There's nothing positive about that. They're deceiving themselves and they're fooled by the enemy. Galatians 5:22 talks about fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Faithfulness is right in the middle of that list. It's a gift, a fruit of the Spirit. By abiding and saying yes to God and no to self, faithfulness becomes a fruit that grows in our lives. It means persevering through tough times. It means knowing you're blessed even when things are rough in your life. God called me to be here today when I'm as broken physically as I've ever been in my life. That's just like our Lord, to pick something broken and use it for His glory. I pray that's what's happening today. Galatians 5:24. And they that are of Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with the passions and the lusts thereof. If we live by the Spirit, we shall also, and by the Spirit let us also walk. So God has blessed us with His presence in our lives. Paul writes, know ye not that you're the temple of God, the Holy Spirit? The veil was rent. We weren't just given the access to God the Father in heaven to have personal relationship. And that's what this is all about. This whole millennium and millennium and millennium of human life is because God wants relationship with as many of us as possible. He loves man and created him in His image and is perfecting us. But that's what this whole thing's about. Jesus died so we could have a relationship with the Father. And He loves us so much that at Pentecost the Spirit came on the disciples. And it's in every one of us. Ever since then, he came into them. He's come into us. That's something that Old Testament believers didn't have. They didn't even have their prophets, the early ones, to look at. You know, we're looking back from the life of David, and they had nothing but the first five books of the Bible. And their faith was based on that. It was a lot harder for them to find faith than it is for us. Because so much more has been revealed and answered. There were mysteries to the people of the Old Testament. A mystery in the New Testament is something that was hidden that's now revealed. Like us being the bride of Christ. What an incredible thing. The bride of Christ. That personal, that kind of relationship. That's what God's wanting. And he's walking with each one of us wherever we go. We're never apart from God. Not for a moment. Any moment, any day, any hour, wherever we are, He's there with us. We walk around the temple of the Spirit. What an amazing thing. Help us, Lord, to live in light of that and believe that with all our hearts and souls. I still struggle with it. I still forget. You know, I've been walking this walk for over 40 years and trying, but I'm not there yet. God's still working on me. The next verse, if we live by the Spirit let us also walk. Yeah, that's where I was. Pastor Ron, when I talked about that verse in 17:14 of Revelation, that they were called, chosen, and faithful, he said being faithful leads to fruitfulness. And I really believe that's true, that as you're faithful, fruits of the Spirit will grow in your lives. These things that I read above. By the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. The first one's love. The Lord gave us a new commandment. He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. That is, I've loved you, so you are to love one another. And he said, by this they'll know that you're my disciples, by the love you have for one another. Excuse me. I forgot to bring my coffee up here that I'm supposed to be keeping from having a dry throat. It's okay, I'm doing good. Where was I? Love for one another. Thank you. Thank you. I'm getting old. Not what I was, but I'm not what I'm going to be either. So that we love one another. This should be the highest priority in whatever we share. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate that. If they're to know we're Christ and that we're His disciples by the love we have for one another, I think that's the highest priority, the highest prerogative. I look at what I do, and when I fail, I think, well, that didn't reflect the love of Christ. And I repent. Repentance isn't a one-time thing. It's something we need to be doing all the time because it means correcting course. And we all get a little off course through every day. So repentance should be something we do many, many times a day. We need to keep correcting our course and pointing towards God, pointing towards becoming like Jesus Christ. And then we'll reflect the love of God. This is the failure of the modern church, is that we're not known for the love we have for one another. We're known by the things that divide us. And I know it breaks God's heart. So let us try to be part of that healing, part of those bringers of peace that that help the church be known for the love we have for one another. That's what will draw the world in, what will draw them to Jesus Christ, if they see the love we have for one another. Faithfulness will lead to fruitfulness. 1 Corinthians 4:1. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Again, mysteries that were hidden that are now revealed to the church. This is how one should regard us. 1 Corinthians 4:2, the next verse. Moreover, it's required of a steward that they be found faithful. It's required of stewards that they be found faithful. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, the Word says. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. That's how essential faith is to our work, to our walk, to our service. Because without it, it's impossible to please Him. And there is one name under heaven by which we must be saved. Our proper response to being called and chosen, it's obedience, it's hearing God, it's doing what He asked. We hear by the Word of God. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, the Word says. We hear through relationship. The veil is rent. We can communicate directly with God. He is speaking to us. His sheep hear His voice. Proper response to being called and chosen. The work of God. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That's the motto in many church nurseries. We are being and will be conformed to the image of Christ. Again, that's what we're coming to. And it's a glorious thing, because all the things that keep us from being known for the love we have for one another are going to be gone, because we're going to love like Jesus loves. And that's our goal today, is to be like Jesus. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to conform us to the image of Christ. For every time that we're exhorted to conform ourselves to the image, there's at least two times where the Spirit is conforming us to the image of Christ. It's a good study. Do it sometime. You'll enjoy it. we are being and will be conformed to the image of Christ. We're being given gifts and graces. We've been given all things pertaining to life and godliness. That's a global promise to every single one of us. And it leaves us without excuse for walking the way we're supposed to walk, because we have everything we need, and the Spirit's in us trying to help us to do that, to be obedient. Faithfulness and obedience. Through faithfulness and obedience, you'll reveal your gifts. We've talked about that. Saying yes and no to self, again, reveals our gifts. This is what makes us feel useful, fulfilled, where contentment, joy, and confidence are found. Again, this is what makes us feel useful, fulfilled, where contentment, joy, and confidence are found. It's being obedient. And I'm not always obedient. I'm not claiming I am. But I'm trying. Maybe if I live long enough, I'll get close. This is being faithful. This is confirming our choice to answer the call to trust in the blood of Jesus Christ. This is confirming we are chosen to walk in faithfulness. God keeps calling. So should we. Again, the veil was rent and communication is open. Jesus died so that we could have eternal relationship with our Father. That's for every single one of you. That's for all of us. We've been given the opportunity, an amazing thing, to have a relationship with God now and for all eternity. It's the whole purpose of this whole creation, because He wants to live eternally with all of us and everybody that's come before us and everybody that's coming after. And if they're chosen of God, I believe they're going to be seated with us on that throne. That's a big throne. That's a really big throne. I can't even imagine. But I plan on being there. So 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to you word, towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's the will of God that everyone be saved. None that the Father's given Christ will be lost. But we have to make the choice. He's given us free will. If you haven't made that choice today, let the day be the day. There's still time to be in on the baptism, I believe, if God led you to trust in Him today. It's a good day to die. It's a good day to receive a new life. John 6:39, and this is the will of Him that sent me, that of all which He hath given me, that I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. In the next verse, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone that beholdeth the Son and believeth on Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. We're going to give up these bodies, some of us sooner than later. But we're going to live forever, for eternity, and get a better body, and live in a society that's unbelievable, where there isn't sin, where there isn't crime. You want to do away with the police? Go to heaven. You won't need them. Here we kind of need them. Very much so. This is kind of my benediction. And the God of peace Himself sanctify you wholly. And may the spirit and soul and body, may your spirit and soul and body be preserved entire without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He who called you. who will do it. Amen. Again, we're called to be faithful, but we can count on His faithfulness. If we've trusted in Him, we will be with Him for all eternity. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. We're so very blessed. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for this day. I thank You for the opportunity to say what You said, to speak to my brothers and sisters. I pray that You will work in each one of us and that we would leave here glorifying You and confirmed, trusting that we're being conformed to Your image and that we're victorious, that we're conquerors, that You have the victory and the victory is ours and we can count on that. Hallelujah. Thank You for Your patience. Praise Your Lord.